6, verses 7 down through 10. The verse that we're really going to come and use as our initial text is verse 9 in this, but I'm going to read you verses 7 through 10, and then I want you to really listen to verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, as we pick it up, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." When we look at Galatians 6, verse 9, the scripture admonishes us to not grow weary in well-doing and reminds us that if we consistently don't grow weary, but continue to do what is right, then in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It reminds us that God recognizes the things that we do each day in our lives, and He has a focus on encouraging us to pursue those things which are good for us. A few weeks ago, I preached a message to you about what the pastor is called to do. My calling to minister and to teach and to oversee and to help our congregation in their spiritual growth and all the things that are involved in maintaining all that is here and its work. And then since then, each Sunday morning, I've preached on things that we need to do together as a congregation, myself with you, that we might honor the Lord. And so this morning, my goal, my objective, what I'm shooting for is for you and I to not grow weary in well-doing. And there's three areas that I'm going to touch on. First of all, we need to not grow weary in prayer. Secondly, we need to not grow weary in remembrance. We need to not forget all that God has done for us. And then the third thing is that we need to not grow weary in thankfulness. Thankfulness in the New Testament, in the scriptures, is really a key part of our Christian faith. And so we're going to talk about that as well. But as we look at this verse, in the context of what he's talking about you and I learning to not sow the things that are after the flesh, but instead sow towards the things that honor God, and to not grow weary in that. And I told you the first one we're going to talk about is prayer itself. Because prayer is given to us not just as an option, but as a command. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us, pray without ceasing. And I mention that often, and the reason I do that is to remind us, God expects to hear from us. I mentioned years ago, I worked for a church just outside of Portsmouth, Virginia, the whole Chesapeake Bay area down there, little suburb called Churchland. And my ministry, when I was there, I just got out of college. My job was to minister to college-age students. Well, that included Navy guys. So I had those single adults, and then I started reaching Navy guys. And when I started reaching Navy guys, I started reaching girls, because girls would come to meet Navy guys. I don't know. It just works that way. So in working with those Navy guys, part of what I needed to do was to teach them the fundamentals, the basics. Just talk to them about Christ. Talk to them about their need to put faith in Christ, salvation. Then you start building on that and teaching them to be prayer warriors, helping them to really practice their faith on the ship, no matter how much pressure. And there was a lot of pressure on those guys every weekend to go party and go to Virginia Beach, and they'd all rent hotel rooms and get drunk, and I'd be telling them, that's not what you need to be doing. You need to go ahead and come and be in God's house, and you need to grow in your faith. You need to learn to pray have a relationship with God, walk with God. It was the challenge as a young pastor to get these young people to see that they need to maintain a proper relationship with God. They can't grow weary in it, no matter how much pressure comes to bear on them from their peers. They have to be strong in their faith. And so here you and I, all these years later from when I was right out of college, and we're still striving to teach the same things, aren't we? We're trying to teach our children, our neighbors, our friends to put their faith in Christ and to have them grow in their faith and to be practical in their Christian living every day. And it starts with prayer. We need to pray. God commanded us to pray without ceasing. But it's also a real practical part of the way that we live as Christians, as a church body. Acts chapter 12, verse 5 tells us, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So while Peter was going through a crisis, he'd been arrested for preaching the gospel, the church, which is you and I, the church body did what? They prayed for him, didn't they? And so you and I in our Christian walk, in our Christian lives, we should be praying for one another. Amen? That's not a complicated thing. But sometimes we forget to pray for one another. You know, each of us, we're in all different stages of life, aren't we? I look down here, Harmon's retired. John over here, still bulling and jamming. He was out cutting trees down the other day, going like crazy. You know, different people in different parts of their lives. You've got Mike and Rose, just got married here a year ago, still coming up with names for the dozen kids they're going to have, and, you know, all that life ahead of them like that. You look back there in the way back, and you have William and Hillary. They're supposed to get married next fall, I think it is September. Is it? This fall. Well, that's kind of what I meant. But September, October, October. So I think I have it in my calendar, right? Okay. So they have all this adventure ahead of them. Newlyweds, kids, work, careers, all of that. We're all in different stages of life. But in that, we need to pray for one another. Some of you who have already been through certain things, you should be mentoring those who are younger than you in the faith as well as in life, praying for them, encouraging them, helping them. That should be a natural part of a church body. And so the church body in the book of Acts, here they are all together without ceasing, praying for Peter while he's in prison. As individuals, we need to pray, not just as a church, but individually, caring. 2 Timothy 1:3 says, without ceasing, I've remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the church in Thessalonica, he says to them, he says, listen, night and day, I remember to pray for you. And it should be that individual. It should be that personal. When you greet each other on Sunday morning, it should be that you're able to say to each other, I prayed for you this week. Because we as a church body need to care, need to be connected, need to be lifting one another up in prayer. In fact, that should be our reputation before the Lord and before others. Turn with me, if you would, over to Romans chapter 1 in your New Testament. I want you to look with me at verses 9 on down through verse 12. Here the apostle writes and he says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and of me. The Apostle Paul is saying to these folks, he's saying, I pray for you all the time. And I pray for you about specific things. And we should be praying for each other in specific things. He says in verse 10, he says, I'm making request that God will give me a safe journey that I might come and minister to you in fellowship with you. And you and I, as a church family, we should be striving to minister to one another, to encourage and to fellowship with one another. It's important. It helps each other. This week, as we gutted out that church kitchen and worked together, different folks came in all different times, volunteered to do all different things. But probably the best part of the entire project is the fellowship. Even though you're dirty and you're working hard and you're trying to get the job done, you're fellowshipping in Christ, in fellowship, one with another, surrounded by the work of God. And it uplifts you, encourages you. It's a blessing. Paul says to them, I'm making request of God that by any means at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He wants to come in fellowship with them. And then he says in verse 11, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. And are we really praying, God, help me to help somebody? Help me to help somebody. That's what he's doing. He's saying, I'm praying that I am able to come and impart upon you some spiritual gifts, some spiritual truths, some encouraging and strengthening spiritual aspect. And we should be doing the same, one with another. Listen, I grew up in New England. I am a New Englander. Grew up in Massachusetts on an old dairy farm. I get the whole thing about don't interfere in anybody's life, stay to yourself, you don't want to be a busybody, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on. But I'm telling you, the Bible wants you to be involved in each other's lives. He wants you to encourage and uplift. He wants you to minister and to pray for one another, just like Paul is talking about here with the church. We come down into verse 11. He says, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith that both you and I have. So he's telling us here, he's saying, you know what? When I minister to you, it blesses me. That's what Paul said. He says, I'm longing for that mutual connection that we make one with another in the Spirit of God, in the work of God. So you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an apostle. Just as a Christian, when you help one another, when you pray for one another, when you minister to one another, when you mentor or encourage one another, you receive as much as you give. I know you think to yourself, well, boy, I'm so busy. Yeah, you are. Aren't we all? But if you're so busy you can't reach out to help somebody, you're way too busy. It's time to start cutting some things off because life is short. And you know what? Before you know it, it has fled from you. And you look back and you say, what did I do with my whole life? What did I invest my life into? If you don't invest into others and into that which is around you, then you're missing the boat. Let God use you to make a difference. It can be a small difference or a big difference, but make a difference in others. That should be your reputation, that you are praying, Lord, give me that opportunity. Help me to step up. Help me to do what you have for me to do. Paula Jean, back there running our soundboard here some time ago, we had done a whole course on witnessing and sharing your faith with others, and God stirred her heart about that. And so she has two jobs. She drives school bus, and she drives a city bus up in Burlington, which is a little scary. Not that she's driving, but that whole driving those big buses in the city, that's a little scary. But she does great. I mean, she helps people. She witnesses for the Lord. She has stopped her bus before and gone out, and there was a lady or a guy on a bench or something that was going through some issues. She helped him. She uses her bus driving job in the city to touch lives of people. You can do it anywhere. Pray for God to open that opportunity in your life. Whatever it may be, wherever it is that you are, ask God, like Paul is doing here, Lord, open up for me that opportunity that I might be ministered to and minister to others. But also, as we come down, the second thing I want you to see is that we need to not grow weary in remembrance. Remembering all the blessings of our life. Remembering how that God has worked and the people who have made a difference in our lives. Sincere faith inspires sincere people. You and I, as believers, if our faith is genuine, we make a difference. And if somebody else's faith is genuine, their sincere faith stirs others to sincere faith. And we remember how they had an effect on our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So the apostle, he writes and he says, listen, I'm remembering without ceasing several things in your life, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. And when we look at our lives, do we know our brothers and sisters in Christ enough to know their faith, to know their patience, to know their love? Do we see it at work? Are we involved one with another in the work of Christ to make a difference for the cause of Christ? It should be that we can remember, and we are remembered for our faith being genuine, sincere, and real. Remember, sincere faith inspires people to be sincere. When you look at these verses, we're reminded of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. So as the apostle wrote to Timothy, he says to Timothy, I remember the faith of your grandmother, that her faith influenced you. And I remember the faith of your mother, how great her faith was and how her faith influenced you. And he says, in fact, I'm confident that in you is the same bold faith that was in your grandmother and in your mother. He remembers. He remembers how faithful they were in their walk in Christ, how faithful they were in their service to the Lord, how faithful they were in their faith, their love, and their hope. And in each of our lives, we should be able to remember. We should interwork and interconnect enough one with another that we remember each other's faith at work. This last week when we were done our project and the ladies came in on Saturday and they kind of put things in the shelves, but they're going to come back and reorganize all that. But I remember us coming together and working this week. I remember the help. I remember the relief of seeing the door open and somebody coming in saying, I'm here to help you, Pastor. And I thought, oh, good, because boy, I need some help. Don't we remember when people are there for us? When somebody passes away in our family and our friends reach out to us, whether it be by call or card or they come by, don't we remember those people who showed their love towards us? We remember. When we get out of the hospital, when we've been sick, if somebody drops by a meal or they send something through the church, a dish, we remember that those people cared for me. Sometimes it's as simple as somebody coming up and shaking your hand and saying, hey, I'm praying for you. And we remember that those people care. And that's what the apostle is writing about. He's saying we can't grow weary in remembering all those people's lives that touched us, that influenced us, that made a difference in our life, that we might serve the Lord in our faith, in our love, in our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly, as each of us started coming to church and started learning and discovering faith, we remember those folks who encouraged us in that. They were happy to see us, and they shook our hand, and they welcomed us. Well, if we can remember people welcoming us, can people remember you welcoming them? Are we doing the work of love, the work of faith and hope? Are we engaging in the work that God has called us to? We need to not grow weary in that. And the third thing I wanted to show you is that we need to not grow weary in thankfulness. Because we, of all people, the Bible says, should be the most thankful. We are greatly blessed. If we've received Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible teaches us, Jesus called it being born again. It's a new beginning in faith in Christ in eternity. You and I that have received Jesus as our Savior, we of all people should be the most thankful because we've been given newness of life. Not that we earned it, not that we bought it. We accepted the free gift paid for by Jesus Christ himself. How could we not be thankful for that? And then he's blessed us with a great congregation of folks to worship with. He's blessed us with a wonderful facility to come and worship in. We should be thankful people. You and I, we're Americans. If you ever travel outside the United States, you will know how thankful you should be. Because all around the world, there are people who would kick down the door to get in here. They'd climb over a wall or dig under in a tunnel. They want to get here. We are very, very blessed. And we need to not grow weary in being a thankful people to our Lord for his many blessings to us. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." And so listen to what he says, because he uses a lot of words to simply say that he is not going to grow weary of being thankful. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So the Apostle Paul reminds him, he says, listen, I am thankful that you've received the word of God. We should be thankful for the word of God, for the fact that we have it to apply to our lives, that we have it to understand and know God, that we have it as a light unto our path. We are blessed. We're so accustomed to the privilege of reading that we forget that there were generations who could not read. We're so accustomed to having a Bible that we forget that there were generations and generations who did not have a book. You know, I mean, if they wanted to read something, they went down and read stuff that was chiseled into a rock. You weren't carrying that to church. We are blessed and we should be thankful. We were putting together this trip to Washington, D.C., and I told Jenny that the Albany, New York State Museum is a great museum to go to. And if you go in there, they have a whole village, an Indian village, or Native American, if you want to be more politically correct. But John is, he works with me, and he's an Indian, and he doesn't mind me saying Indian. So I feel free. But anyways, you go there, and they have a whole village set up, and you go, and it's got the long, what did they call it? Longhouse, I think. Yeah, all built. And you see how they lived 150, 200 years ago. Now, when I look at that, all of a sudden it makes me thankful. And I'm serious about that. I've lived in the Northeast almost my entire life. So when it's cold like this, I told Sandra Jo, when I was a kid, we played in this kind of cold. We'd go get start the snowmobile, and now I don't want to play in the cold. But I would hate to live out there in this. I'd hate to have to live in a stick shelter with grass woven in and huddle down underneath bear skin to just survive. I can go home and I walk in the house and I take my jacket off. And I go sit on the couch. Now I usually pull up, Noreen has made us nice quilts, and I pull a little quilt up. But I am warm. I am thankful for that. I live in a day and an age where I can actually get out from underneath my little quilt on the couch, and I can go over to my kitchen sink, and there's a knob there, and I turn that little knob, water comes out. You know, I go see that village at the Albany State Museum, and I'm looking at that. Nobody's turning a knob to get water. Nobody's pushing a button to get heat. I am thankful, thankful for all the many blessings that I enjoy in my life. And so the apostle says to the church, he says, listen, we need to remember to be thankful. Thankful for the word of God. Thankful to God for all the many blessings that he has given to us. As you read down through that verse 13, he says, you received it not as the word of men, but it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We need to be thankful for the work of God in us. That's a miracle. It's a miracle to have the Spirit of God work in us, to comfort us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. The miracle of the Spirit of God within us is something that we need to remember to be thankful for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you this morning when I get up, and I can face another day and know it's going to be okay because you are with me on the journey of life. Thank you, Lord, that if something happens to me and my life ends today, I know I have a heavenly home that Jesus Christ told me he goes to prepare for me, and that one day he will bring me unto himself. Thank you, Lord, for all the presence of the Holy Spirit as he guides me and shows me the way, as he comforts me through hardship and rejoices with me in the good times. Thank you, Lord. Thankful people are a happy people. Unthankful people are not very happy. You know, if you meet people who are always unhappy, and you start talking to them, find out, are they thankful? No. They're unthankful. Nothing's right. But if every day you start out with that attitude of God has blessed me and I am thankful, then it shapes and changes your perception of everything that you face. So why does he start off by saying to us, don't grow weary? Because it's hard to do right. It's hard to be a prayer warrior. It's hard to always remember the good things that God has blessed us with and the good people that God has blessed us with as well. It's hard to always be thankful. So he tells us, don't grow weary in it. Purpose. Purpose in your heart and in your soul to keep on keeping on. To allow God to give you the ability and the strength to do that which ultimately will bless you. Because if you're a prayer warrior, you will be blessed. If you are somebody who remembers and reflects on all the things that God is doing in your life and how he's providing people, places, and opportunities, if you remember those things, you will be blessed. And if you learn to be a thankful person, if you learn to watch and actually verbalize thankfulness, you ultimately will be the one blessed. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of our message. My goal over these last several weeks has been for we as a church to understand what we should be doing as we press into the year 2019. And part of that is that we need to be sure that we don't grow weary of well-doing. And as our heads are bowed and as we look in our hearts, I ask you this morning, where are you in all of that? If you've listened to the verses and you've listened to the points, if you've listened to the challenge to not grow weary in these specific areas of your life, where are you in all of that? Maybe this morning during this invitation time, you need to make a commitment between you and Him to not grow weary. Father in heaven, as we come to this end of worship, as your Holy Spirit stirs and beckons each of us to you, I pray for your Holy Spirit to work and move. Help us to be a strong people in our faith. Folks who are ceaseless, not willing to compromise. We pray for your Spirit to work and move. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.